You know, reality TV and game shows, they've been called lately, in the big rage, the great new thing, but it's actually old hat for my guest who created some of the classic game shows that had people bring with them the realities of their lives. Along with being a TV producer, he's also a very successful author. His latest novel takes an idea that he has often talked about through the years, and it turns into a rather interesting what-if. Here to talk about the story that's featured in his new novel, The Big Question, we say good morning to one of the greats, Chuck Barris. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here. And as a longtime fan, and like I mentioned in the introduction, the concept, the idea, and the theme of this book, this is something you've talked about for a couple of decades.
Yeah, I have. Every time I go out and to some gathering or, you know, a book reading or something like that, somebody will always ask me, where do I think television's going? And I always used to say, almost jokingly, well, they're going to end up executing somebody on the air, and everybody would gasp and so forth and so on. And then, you know, I started to think about it, and the history of how television has gone from the 50s when I was in it to the to right now, it's a whole other ball game. You know, when I started out, we were doing shows for fun that make people laugh and do things like that. And still I was called the greatest schlockmeister of all time. But now it seems that all the shows are mean-spirited and angry, demeaning, and all the things that I, you know, used to be accused of are going on right now. So I took this whole idea and stuck it in The Big Question in my new book.
And the one thing that I love, too, because every novel has to have a rooting interest for the reader to—that's the hook. That's what gets you into the story. And you've got a significant, large cast of characters that I think the reader will connect with to the point where there's never any confusion. You know who's who. You know what piece of the story is resuming as you go through the book, because you have a variety of lives that are going to, well, what you might be thinking is the obvious conclusion. We're not going to wreck it for you here. And as far as your characters are concerned, you got some humans on these pieces of paper.
Boy, Chris, that's good news, because I mean that you understand that I work really hard on the characters. The characters had to have characters who were not terminally ill or very, very old, because then it just wouldn't make much sense. These had to be people who were maybe desperate and maybe egomaniacal, but real people, and the book centers around these characters and their hopes to get on The Big Question for whatever reason they wanted to. So I really worked hard on those characters.
Well, and as a warning to the reader too, you might, you know, the reader could theoretically go through these characters and at one point say, you know what, Vera's me. That, you know, I'm Arthur, or, oh my God, I'm Linus.
Yeah, well, you saw that. That's wonderful. I mean, you know, if I can draw characters which relate to people who the people, the reader, can identify with, I've really scored. And I think that The Big Question, you know, I think it's the best thing I ever wrote. But, you know, Chris, if Norman Mailer said that, it might mean something. But I'm saying it anyway, because I really love this book.
And I'm, you know, having read your books in the past, and I actually was able to fish out a first edition of You and Me, Babe off of eBay not too long ago too. And you know, and I've read others say this about your writing, that you need to do it more often, because as far as being a storyteller, maybe because of all the interaction you've had with real life people during your work in television, that you can humanize the ink and the paper better than a lot of people can.
Well, I just love the ability to be able to do that, and writing more often. You know, I was writing a book every 10 years. I wrote You and Me, Babe in the 70s, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind in the 80s, another one, King of the Game Shows in the 90s, and something else in Bad Grass in the 2000. You know, and I, this book, and I've finished the next book that I'll do. I've done it, so I'm pushing that schedule up a little faster, because, you know, I have a birthday next month. I'll be 78 years old, and I don't know, you know, how many books I got left.
Talking with Chuck Barris, who, by the way, is going to be doing an appearance and a signing on the 11th at Bookends. That's at 232 East Ridgewood Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey at 7 p.m. So it's a chance to do a little idol worshiping, really by the guy. You know, you created the original American Idol with the Gong Show. At least that's my theory.
Well, you know, that's a lot of people's theory, and I'm sorry about that. I mean, I want to apologize for doing that, but, you know, that what I brought in to television, I think, Chris, was spontaneity. Before I came along with The Dating Game, all the shows were question and answer and stunts. And I brought in this element where you never knew what the person was going to say. It was unrehearsed and so forth and so on. And I think that probably led to the Newlywed Game and all the shows I did, and then onward to the Gong Show and up. So probably, you know, American Idol, America's Got Talent, all those programs are really takeoffs of the Gong Show, which, you know, I could never think of these shows today because they just seem too angry for me. I was back in the 60s and 70s doing fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, I'll make another Then and Now. I think Deal or No Deal is a ripoff of Treasure Hunt.
Really? That's true, too. I never thought about that. I never knew that anybody would want to rip Treasure Hunt, but I guess they did. You know, that's true. Well, you know, it gets to a point, I guess, in television where everything's a ripoff of some germane character that goes way back. But that's the nature of the beast, and you know, best of luck to all those other new people. I don't want to even do television anymore.
Well, I mean, you're having a lot of fun with the writing.
That's what I always wanted to do. I really always did. My dream was to go to the south of France and be the next F. Scott Fitzgerald and write the great American novel. So when the Gong Show got a little bit too much for me, I sold the company, took the money, and ran. I ran to Saint-Tropez, and I lived there for 10 years, but I never managed to write the great American novel, but I sure had a lot of fun just doing my daydream.
Now, I don't want to, again, wreck something here, but we could talk about this in a vague sort of way. There's a character in this book that I'm sensing is a little bit of a personal therapeutic experience for you.
Who's that? Me?
Well, there's
that I say the old cripple.
Yeah, there's a character in this book that, you know, I don't know if you want to.
Oh, you can. Well, I you're right. The cripple. Well, I've already given it away, but the cripple. There's a pathetic old cripple in the book, and you know, he's me. I say, you know, it's me, and of course that gives a little bit of a little surprise away. But this poor pathetic soul is trying to get this hotshot young producer to do his idea, which is really he calls it the death game, and you know that's. This guy's trying to do this, get the show done, and eventually he gets it done. Only it's a whole other ball game.
Exactly. You get a little. How much of what takes place as far as that side of the story? Not necessarily the Arthurs, the Linuses, and the Billy Constables, the characters that you're going to hook into as you read The Big Question. But how much of an insight did you want to give about your idea of what the world of TV and production and the people in it are all about? I mean, what someone sees in The Big Question, is are they getting a fairly strong base look at that world? How much of it is satire? How much of it is expanding the reality?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, this book, the Big Question, which eventually executes a contestant on the air, is not a show that I would ever, ever, ever want to do. But what I'm trying to say is it's a commentary of mine on what's happening in the big networks and the syndicators and cable, who will do almost anything for the largest audience they can get. It's the bottom line is all they're looking for. And they're all owned by big corporations, and it's a whole new ball game. And also, I was indicting the American audience for watching all of this stuff in huge numbers. I mean, people eating bugs and wife swapping and stuff like that. It's just beyond me because in my day, I couldn't say God or toilet seat. So I'm trying to make a commentary on television today and what it might be 5 years or 10 years from now. I'm starting to get really convinced that in less than 10 years, somebody's going to be executed on television. Now, whether it's in the form of a game show or whether it's in the form of just seeing an execution, your weekly execution, it remains to be seen. But the book is set in 2012 when there's a new president, there's new laws of the land, and you can do anything you want with your body, commit suicide, assisted suicide. That's all, the restrictions on that are in the past. So it opens the door for this kind of thing. But of course, those laws have to be changed and stuff like that.
Wrapping up our time with Chuck Barris, who's going to be signing copies of his new book, The Big Question, at Bookends on 232 East Ridgewood Avenue in Ridgewood on Thursday the 11th at 7 p.m. And, you know, I actually do have to correct you on something. There has been a death on TV. Remember, it was a 60-minute segment, almost five or six years ago with Dr. Kevorkian. And it showed Kevorkian doing his craft.
Yes, there was even an execution, I think, in Texas that was televised at some time in the past, and I'm not sure of those incidents. But what I'm saying is that this is going to be a nationally accepted situation, that it's going to be something that people will be able to tune into on a regular basis. And, you know, I always ask when I'm doing, at least on the tour, I always ask, who would watch a program like this? And, you know, at some places, maybe 20% or 30% of the audience. And last night, I was in Philadelphia, and two people raised their hand out of about 80 that were watching the show. And I was doing at this book reading. But I don't believe the rest of the people that keep their hand down, because nobody used to watch The Gong Show. I mean, I would say, you know, people would stop me in the street and say, I never watch your program. And then they would tell me about acts that were on a couple of days ago. So, you know, there was a poll at MSNBC, and of all those polled, 45% said they would watch an execution on television, and 55% said they wouldn't. But that 45 is a big number. This is projection, and this is a commentary, and this is a lot of other things. But what I think the book is a kind of a fun read, and I'm really want to do is just write something that's enjoyable.
I mean, I think it's a perfect combination. It's a fun read that makes you think a little bit along the way, as I said before, about the characters. You might see that, well, you're Arthur, or you're Billy, or mom is Vera, or whatever the case may be.
And Vera Bundle.
And as far as the ideas and the train of thoughts that Chuck expresses with The Big Question, it does provide an interesting what if, and if that what if ever became, you know, what's the other question? What would you do with it? Well, that's maybe a question you could pose as well with Chuck when he's going to be over at Bookends, 232 East Ridgewood Avenue, Ridgewood, New Jersey, on Thursday the 11th at 7 p.m. Bookends.com is their website. Find out more about them. Chuck, a longtime fan, love everything you've done. I love the writing that you do today. And now that I've gotten through this one, I can't wait for the next one to come. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chris.